Today on Maine Calling, ideas for getting outdoors this winter. Some of us hunker down like hibernating bears in wintertime. Others rejoice and head outdoors. After all, there are countless activities to embrace in Maine this time of year. Skiing and snowmobiling, of course, but also snowshoeing, ice fishing, winter surfing, pond hockey, and more. Is this the year you learn something new? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll get ideas about ways to embrace the season, from big adventures to festivals and outings. We'll learn about a new study that shows the economic impact of outdoor recreation in Maine, and we'll discuss the implications of climate change on Maine's outdoor winter economy. Share your ideas for getting outside. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. There are so many reasons to get outside and enjoy Maine in winter. Snowboarding, snowshoeing, birding, fat biking, ski-joring, you name it. Or simply going to some of the fun events happening outside this season. It is no wonder outdoor recreation in the winter plays such a major role in Maine's economy. Joining me to discuss ideas and impact, Jeff McCabe, who is director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation, Hazel Stark, co-founder of the Maine Outdoor School, and Brian Thelkeld, membership director of Maine Outdoor Brands. We invite you to join the conversation. Do you have a favorite wintertime sport or activity? Where do you like to go? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to all of you. I'm going to talk about the serious stuff in just a minute, the study about the economic impact of outdoor recreation, climate change, all of that. We'll get to it. But first, I just want to ask you all what you do in the winter. What is your favorite thing to do? Hazel.
Ice skating on our ponds and lakes and rivers whenever we can have that sweet spot of ice with not snow on top and cold enough to be thick and safe. That's definitely my favorite.
Okay, tell me a tip for telling. If somebody hasn't done this before and is a little bit nervous about, you see this on social media, maybe your friends have shared pictures of themselves skating on some beautiful outdoor ice, and you think, man, whenever I go, it's bumpy or there's snow on it or I'm not sure if it's safe. What's the secret to finding the sweet spot?
I think the most helpful thing is if you're really paying attention to temperatures in your area overnight and the daily highs, to really pay attention to, like, has it really been cold below freezing and for how long? The general rule is if the ice is less than 4 inches thick, you should stay off of it. So what I do is I actually carry a hatchet with me whenever I'm going out ice skating, and I'm testing it right by the shore, a little bit farther out, a little bit farther out, in multiple places to really make sure that the ice has that 4 inches. But you also need to pay attention to currents in an area, the inlet and outlet of a lake or pond. Also, if there's active beaver activity by a lodge, because until it's about like 16 degrees, they really try to keep their escape route out of the ice as long as possible. So they'll kind of bang their heads up against thin ice to keep it open longer. So if there's a beaver lodge, the ice is thinner around that most likely until it gets really, really cold. So I think actually testing the ice is really important. I think a lot of people are just like, oh, it's been cold, I'm just going to go out and try it out. But there can be springs under there. There can be all kinds of weird patterns and stuff. So test the ice yourself. And I know it's a lot of work, but it's less work than falling in through the ice. So okay, worth it to test it.
And I'm going to get to our other guests in just a minute, but I need to ask you. So we're about to have, most places in Maine right now have snow on the ground, but a lot of that's going to get washed off this week. But then that sort of gives us an opportunity to sort of make some nice glassy ice, right? If we have the rain wash it away, maybe in a couple weeks when temperatures drop again, that might be a window where we might get some of that pretty glassy ice. Yes? You're nodding.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it. Like, I love snow, but if we're going to have a thaw anyway, I'm happy to kind of get a reset and have good cold temperatures so we might get some skating in.
All right, Brian, your turn. What do you do this time of year what's your favorite of all the things you do this time of year?
Sure. I would say that probably my favorite thing to do is kind of long extended backcountry trips on cross-country skis, pulling a sled, carrying everything I need to survive who knows what kinds of conditions. But it really just gives me an opportunity to get out into the wilderness of Maine with friends and just create a lot of fun, lasting memories.
Long extended backcountry trip. So that means that you are not just skiing, but you are also camping, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So in places like Baxter State Park or the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument or the 100 Mile Wilderness, I've traveled through all those in the middle of winter, sleeping in tents or in lean-tos. And yeah, just each day you wake up and it's kind of, you know, make some coffee, get some breakfast, pack everything up, and you just kind of head off into the unknown and enjoy the day and all the different challenges and obstacles and opportunities that come with it. And you get into camp and get dry and get cozy and get warm and try to sleep and do it all again the next day.
You say try to sleep. So this is what I'm going to ask you. I need you to convince the skeptic that winter camping is indeed a pleasurable activity.
I think having dry gear is super important, having a warm sleeping bag. And then the silver bullet for staying warm is a hot water bottle in your sleeping bag that you're triple checking to make sure the lid is screwed on tight so it's not going to spill water all over your gear in your sleeping bag.
Okay, so we've got ice skating on lakes and ponds, outdoor adventures that last several days on your cross-country skis. Your turn, Jeff McCabe. What do you do this time of year that you love?
Yeah, I would go with Nordic skiing. And for me, you know, traveling around the state of Maine, finding the best conditions, finding the place where you can get soup out of a crock pot at the end of the day, or find a, you know, home-baked cookie, whether it's at a Nordic center or a, you know, land trust, or even if it's at a state park. And just experiencing different communities and their different offerings at their cross-country ski facilities. You know, some of these are for-profit, some of these are non-profit, and really just chasing the best conditions.
Okay, so Jeff, I'm going to stay with you. You recently commissioned a report about the impact of Maine's outdoor recreation on Maine's economy. I want you to tell us what you found, and then also specifically how much the winter outdoor recreation economy contributes to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So each year there are statistics that are released as far as, you know, outdoor recreation numbers. And here in the state of Maine, the outdoor recreation economy or outdoor recreation actually makes up 3.7% of Maine's economy. So it makes Maine, you know, in the top 10 as far as states and the value of outdoor recreation that contributed to the statewide GDP. So when we look at snow activities, including skiing, snowboarding, snowmobiling, those contributed $108 million. That's nearly a 13% increase since 2022. Snow activities, including skiing, snowboarding, and snowmobiling, with that 13% increase, you know, is huge. You know, while skiing and snowboarding remain stable, other snow activities such as snowshoeing and snowmobiling grew by 44%. So those are some real, you know, solid numbers, you know, and it's great to see that growth. You know, for me personally, talking about Nordic skiing, I'm an avid alpine skier as well. You know, occasionally I'll even jump on a snowmobile. And for me, you know, snowmobiling is something that, I have a snowmobile here. It's really for grooming trails and working in my woodlot. But when I do get the opportunity to rent a snowmobile, typically it's in the Kennebec Valley. And just exploring, you know, that form of travel, it's pretty interesting to just see how popular that is and how important that is to Maine's economy as well.
That's interesting. So it's not just skiing and snowboarding, that there's an increase in the snowmobiling and snowshoeing. And people, you know, you see them. You see them come January, February. You see those out-of-state plates headed up north in Maine looking for the best snow. Hazel, at the Maine Outdoor School, what have you noticed? Have you seen trends in terms of what people want to do in winter as opposed to in summer?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the trends, unfortunately, that I've noticed, so primarily I'm working with public school students across Hancock and Washington counties, and I think what I'm not seeing as much of these days is the sort of culture of send your kid outside until dinner and have them kind of come back inside, you know, freezing and ready for dinner. And so, of course, that not happening as much means that I've seen a lot of people wanting a little bit more structure and ideas about what to have kids do when they go outside. And so I think there's the combination of that, like, what do I do if I send them outside? What's safe? And also finding options that are less expensive, because I will definitely say that a lot of these outdoor winter recreation, they require gear of some kind, at the very least to keep us warm, just our bodies warm. But beyond that, to pay for ice skates and cross-country skis or downhill skis or a snowmobile, all those are expensive. And so trying to figure out ways that we can have accessible ways of engaging with the outdoors in winter that's really safe is a really important thing. And so when I'm working with kids, we're trying to always figure out, like, what are the things you can do in your backyard right now for 3 hours, for 10 minutes, whatever that looks like. So lots of different ideas around scavenger hunts and building stuff. And I could go on about lots of ideas of that. But I think those, in terms of a trend, it's we're not just sending kids outside for creative winter play as much anymore. That's not sort of our instinct when someone's bored. And so kind of coming up with some specific ideas to guide them through, hopefully will create that culture again of just getting outside and playing and being creative.
Hazel, for anyone who wants to get started, say, animal tracking, winter's a good time to start to learn, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the number one thing that people can get excited about, especially after a fresh snow, to see who's been walking through your own backyard. And there's always somebody. And we've got wildlife everywhere, whether you live in a more urban area or a more rural area in Maine. There's someone out there that you can identify. And it's really simple as a starting point, even to go to your local library and check out a tracking field guide. There's so many great tracking field guides out there. You can also, IFNW has a printout one that you can see Maine mammal tracks really easily. And I think the backside of it has a cool bingo sheet, if I recall. And so there's lots of ways that you can, for free or low cost, get a resource to take with you to help you identify different things that are moving around. And that's really special to see who are all of those nature neighbors that we don't always see or see their signs of as easily in the summertime.
All right. Brian Thelkeld, I've been a reporter in Maine for a lot of years, and I know that Maine Outdoor Brands, even though it kind of seems like an obvious idea, is relatively new, since about 2017. Tell us about the decision for all these brands to come together and work together and what it's done for the outdoor industry in Maine.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the question. I think Maine Outdoor Brands really started because we were having these disparate conversations as an industry and realizing that we needed to kind of form a sort of coalition to bring our voices together and help strengthen and elevate Maine's outdoor recreation economy. We are comprised of product manufacturers, service providers, retailers, and nonprofits all around the state. We have about 200 member brands. And it's amazing because we have big brands like L.L. Bean and Old Town Canoe, and we have small little, you know, one person businesses that are sewing custom fleeces in their garage. And so it really creates this incredible ecosystem where we can share resources, we can network, we can collaborate. And it really is that rising tide that lifts all boats. And it's just an incredible place to be in Maine, to have the connections that we do, to have the resources that we do, and to be able to produce products in Maine, to be able to produce experiences in Maine. And, you know, everybody loves Maine. And no matter where we go in the country to talk about our work, people come up to us and say, oh my gosh, like, my grandparents had a camp that I used to go to all the time. And, you know, growing up, or I went to summer camp in Maine. So many people have a connection to Maine. And so I think that there's a big part of that that plays into our work, where we just love where we live. We love what we do. And we love getting to work with each other. So.
Of course, an important part of this conversation is the fact that winter, the season is getting shorter. There are a lot of places we cannot depend on snow all the time. And I'm going to go to one of our callers. It looks like Debbie in Bangor wants to ask about the impact of climate change. Debbie, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I had read an article last year and the impact of climate change on what was happening, what was scheduled in the county, and that had to be postponed. I actually live in Herman, and you know, our local ski area, you know, completely at the mercy of weather and snow, and I'm quite concerned. I wonder, you know, what winter is going to look like, what winter recreation is going to look like 15 years from now, and what we're doing right now to plan for fixing or helping people survive that negative impact.
Debbie, thanks a lot for your question, a really important one. Jeff, I'm going to toss it to you.
Yeah, so Brian and I actually had an opportunity to talk a little bit about this last week, and so I imagine he's going to jump in too, but I think what we've seen with technology at many of the ski mountains to improve snowmaking technology is a huge improvement, you know, to years past where, you know, mountains were really relying on the natural snow, and we're seeing expanded snowmaking. We've seen improved technology, which is extremely helpful. But it is very concerning what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing shorter seasons. We have a situation right now where the conditions are amazing for outdoor recreation in so much of the state. And we're expecting a large rainfall on Wednesday, which is going to be a real setback. So I think we need to be honest about that. I think a lot of places around the state, you saw in Aroostook County, where folks were encouraging people to really check the conditions last winter because people didn't want people showing up for snowmobiling and having a bad experience. So while that's a setback, you want visitors to have a great time while doing these outdoor activities. And I know Brian and I chatted about the benefit of the Trails Bond and what that means for outdoor recreation activities, improved trails, and really looking at trail resiliency and improvements. So when we do have opportunities of snowfall, we can get on these trails quicker. The trails are holding up better, but we are experiencing winters where the ground is not freezing, which is a huge challenge for all types of winter recreation. And I'll pause there and see if Brian wants to add anything.
I think you covered it really well there, Jeff. And I would just reiterate that ski areas are not only advancing their technology in snowmaking, requiring less energy, but are also just encouraging people to carpool. And I think that there's more things that can be done. And I think one of the things that makes Maine so great is that we have resilient people that live in this state and can understand how to adjust and make accommodations. And ultimately, climate change is something that's here and it's not going away. And so I think it's up to us to be able to creatively think about how we run businesses that can still adapt and get people outside regardless of what the conditions are like.
Sure, and some of the ski resorts can make snow, but you know, that doesn't help snowmobiling clubs. It doesn't help people who like to go snowshoeing or Hazel loving to go ice skating on lakes and ponds. And Hazel, before we go to a break, what would you like to add about your concerns about climate change and shortening winters?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's been hard, especially in recent years, to just recognize I live in down East Maine, so we've had less and less snow, and we have had more and more ice as a result, which has been nice. Like, I'm able to skate a lot more now than I could as a kid, where I spent most of my time cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. But one of the things that I've definitely noticed is that even my gear has had to adapt to how our winters have changed. And so growing up, I needed snowshoes to be able to go outside and hike. But now I had to buy micro spikes for the first time because so many of our hiking trails are ice for so much of the winter in this area. And so that means that I need to have something to give me better traction on my boots. And so while, yeah, I would prefer to be snowshoeing in the winter, I'm gonna get outside somehow. And so that means that I just have had to adapt the gear that I have to help keep me safe and comfortable outside. And so I think, that adaptability thing is something we're all gonna have to figure out because, yeah, like Brian said, climate change isn't going away. And the ways that our winters are just less predictable means we just have to be more adaptive to what we have on a given moment and go outside regardless.
We're talking about winter outdoor recreation on Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're talking about how to enjoy the outdoors in winter. With me, Hazel Stark, co-founder of the Maine Outdoor School, Brian Threlkeld, membership director of Maine Outdoor Brands, and Jeff McCabe, director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation. Share your ideas. Share your questions. Send an email, talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now is Amy Vaklos, who is a teaching professor and program director of outdoor business and innovation at the University of New England. Thanks for joining us, Amy.
Sure, no problem. It's actually Amy Vlakis. It's a very difficult last name.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Vlakis, I'll get it right next time you're on Maine Calling. So we talked a little bit about the outdoor economy and how it's growing in Maine. And I'm wondering what you see as sort of the biggest areas of growth and the biggest areas of opportunity.
Well, for me, from the teaching side, I mean, there with creation of this new major, outdoor business innovation, there is so much potential for the students if we're looking at the job growth year to year in the outdoor recreation economy in Maine. Obviously, a 9% growth just from 2022 to 2023. I talk to employers all of the time in this industry, and they need skilled workers working in operations side and the business side of outdoor recreation and really working to provide those students for them.
Are there, I think a lot of students maybe think about working at one of the ski resorts. Are there other opportunities you would highlight?
Yeah, I mean, my students, for example, the current students in the program just have amazing kind of stories of what they want to do. One student, his family owns a family camp up in Sebago, 120 years in the same family. He is going to take over that camp after graduation. I have another student who wants to work in the fly fishing industry, whether that be, it's not sure yet, whether it be his own shop or even just looking at guided tours, which has been another area of tremendous growth in Maine. And another student looking at, you know, the nonprofit side and working with at-risk students and taking them into the outdoors. So there's a lot more opportunity besides the ski industry to get involved.
All right. Well, Amy, I'm going to ask you what I asked my other guests. What do you like to do this time of year?
I love just walking. For me, whether it be walking through the woods or walking along the coast, it's definitely a way that I recharge. I try to do it every single day. It is just, you know, a huge benefit of being in Maine. You can just walk outside your doors and really find some peace in nature.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That was Amy Vlakos with the University of New England. We'll go to Allie Maston, who's calling in from Mount Abram. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Cindy. Good morning.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So Mount Abram is a wonderful family-friendly ski area in Greenwood. And it has a perfectly welcoming vibe for families, first-timers, or anyone who just loves a classic no-frills day on the mountain. And we're really proud to offer affordable skiing and snowboarding. Our lift tickets are just $39 every day, all season long. And on Thursdays, for Maine residents, it's even better. Our lift tickets are just $19.60.
Wow. Well, thanks so much for calling. Allie Maston calling from Mount Abram. We have an email here from Sarah at Martin Woods Farm in Starks. We have miles of wooded trails, perfect for outdoor activities in the winter and all year. We offer ski joring. I'll return to that. Sleigh rides, trail rides on horseback through the wooded snowy trails, Nordic skiing, snowshoeing, mountain biking, nature walk, foraging classes too, usually in warmer months. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to return to what Sarah said at the beginning. We offer ski joring. Jeff McCabe, I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to see the Ski Joring Festival in Skowhegan. So fun. Ski joring is racing on skis behind a horse. It's wild and crazy. I know they also do it at the Topsom Fairgrounds. And I'm wondering if you have any other ideas of events that are a little outside of the usual that people might like to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
I'm not sure you can top the Ski Joring Festivals, but maybe.
It is pretty exciting living here in Skowhegan and heading up to the fairgrounds. It's usually a cool weekend, and it's a lot of excitement, and to see the horses and the athletes being pulled behind horses on skis and doing jumps is quite fantastic. There are festivals and events around the state. One of my favorites is in Monson. There's actually the Monson Snow Roller Days, which is the third Saturday in February. And it's sort of a unique festival that celebrates the history of Monson. One of my favorite parts about it is the kick sleds that they have for demonstration and for viewing. And this is a Scandinavian type craft that folks use to get around in winter months and use on the ice. And it looks similar to a dog sled, but you are propelling it yourself. Some folks call them sparks, but you have the opportunity to try that out. There's a big tug of war event that occurs as part of that festival. And then there's, of course, Nordic events as well. Over in Norway, there's the Snowshoe Festival, which happens on the weekend of February 17th. I know that they have a fashion show as part of that. They also celebrate the town's sort of history and as it relates to snowshoes. If you're into snowmobiling, I think one of the biggest events that I'm familiar with is the Snowdio over in Rangeley, which happens on January 25th through the 28th. And that's a series of events around snowmobiling. I know Community of Belfast on February 23rd through the 25th has a winter event. Here in the greater Skowhegan area, we have our Somerset Snowfest, which includes skajoring, an ice fish festival, and an ice fishing derby. And I think there's just opportunities all over the state. So I'd put a plug in for folks to check out visitmaine.com for a listing of opportunities and events. And then, Google searches and using Facebook is a great way to find out activities. I know that the state parks do a number of activities, so looking on their calendar of events and just finding ways to get outside. And a number of these events have the opportunity for folks to try out equipment for free. Many of these ice fishing derbies do, demonstrations. Many of these events have cross-country skis, snowshoes for people to try. And so I think that's a big piece. I think Hazel mentioned earlier, sometimes that equipment is a barrier. And I, hope that we spend some time talking today about, how to access equipment and how to make outdoor recreation accessible for all.
Yeah, I think that we have a call about accessing outdoor equipment. I'm going to go to Lauren, who's calling from the University of Maine. Hi, Lauren, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, that was a great segue. Thanks, Jeff. I just wanted to mention that we have gear libraries in Maine that are a great way to access outdoor equipment. In southern Maine, there's the Maine Gear Share. Here in Orono, we have Maine Bound. Up in Millinocket, there's the Katahdin Gear Library. And there's others. And even local libraries often have libraries of things. And you might be able to borrow things like sleds or snowshoes. So there's lots of ways to access outdoor winter gear.
Lauren, thanks so much for calling in with that tip. Calling in now is Gabe Perkins, who is Executive Director for Inland Woods and Trails. Hi, Gabe. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Jennifer. Great to be on again. Favorite time of year.
Your favorite time of year. So you heard Brian talk about how he enjoys woods and trails in Maine in wintertime, long multi-day cross-country camping trips. What about you? What do you want people to know about ways in which they can take advantage of Maine's trails in the wintertime?
There are so many opportunities to get outside in the winter, from what Lauren said and the events that Jeff was speaking to. And here in Bethel, every day is basically a festival in the winter, right? We have so much going on with the cross-country skiing under the Bethel Resort, where we run a winter trail system to, the community forests here, where we have access to backcountry ski glades and easy community access trails. These are easy places to go and walk and snowshoe or ski. And they're right off the main road. There's no secrets here. It is important to, if your favorite trail in the summer is not plowed, please don't go there if it's not plowed in the winter, right? We manage these things open for a reason. Further afield in Rumford, right, there's free skiing at Black Mountain every Wednesday night. Wednesday afternoon. Easily accessible ways for people to get outside, and it's just a very, you know, it's a very exciting time. We've got a bunch of snow. We've been open here for a week, and Sunday River is, of course, cranking away the best of what they do, and it's all thanks to our partners and supporters and the planning that we all do to be ready for winter and activate these trail systems pretty quickly.
Gabe, thank you so much for calling in. Gabe Perkins with Inland Woods and Trails. Hazel, a little bit earlier, one of our callers was talking about gear libraries around the state. You focus on Eastern Maine. Are there ways for people to borrow or cheaply rent gear in Washington County and Hancock County?
Yeah, so one that I want to highlight is actually the Millbridge Public Library, a tiny library, but has access to a bunch of snowshoes there. So community members in Millbridge can go and check out a pair of snowshoes for all sizes of folks, including little kids. So that's a really good option. And I also just want to highlight that there, ask your local library and other places like that, because there are hidden resources for these kind of winter gear opportunities all around the state. And sometimes it's kind of a local hidden gem to find out about it. The other thing I want to highlight, too, is that a lot of the events that happen and a lot of resources about winter outdoor recreation do end up happening a lot in northern and western Maine, because there's more reliably snowy conditions out there. But over where I am in eastern Maine, we also have some resources too, especially just around hiking. And so one program that Maine Outdoor School we've been doing with Women for Healthy Rural Living based in Millbridge is we do monthly women's outings. So I'm a registered Maine guide and I guide those. They're free to women 16 and up. They rotate between Western, Central, and Eastern Washington County each quarter. And there's a different theme. So like this month, we're gonna be learning about winter plant ID in Lubeck. That one has a wait list for next weekend already, but January will be in Gouldsboro on January 18th. And so you can check out maineoutdoorschool.org/events to find out about the OWL program, Outdoor Women Lead is what it stands for an opportunity to get outside with other women. And we found that a lot of women are interested in getting outside in the winter, but don't necessarily know what gear they need and how to do that. And so it's a way to kind of join other women outside, learning about how to recreate safely in the winter, but also learning about nature together on a regular kind of schedule. So those have been really, really popular. So for folks that are out this way, that could be a good resource.
Thank you, Hazel. We're going to go to Samantha calling from Brunswick. Hi, Samantha, go ahead.
Hi there, my name's Samantha. I am with Teens to Trails, and we support 65 schools in Maine, middle and high schools, and running their outdoor clubs. And I'm really excited. I'm the program manager here, and we have awesome programs coming up at Hidden Valley Nature Center, at the Camden Snow Bowl. We're going to be working with Inland Fisheries and Wildlife for ice fishing, and a free ski day with lessons, rentals, and tickets with Black Mountain of Maine, thanks to Winter Kids. And so just want to let everyone know who might have a student at a middle and high school in Maine that they should definitely find out if they have an outdoor club at their school and attend some of these programs. And if you're interested in potentially volunteering, that's another way to get involved with Teens to Trails and get outside this winter. So thank you for having me.
Samantha, thanks so much for calling in. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post to our Facebook page or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Brooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We are talking about outdoor recreation in Maine during the colder months. There is plenty to do. With me, Brian Thelkeld with Maine Outdoor Brands, Jeff McCabe with the Office of Outdoor Recreation, and Hazel Stark with the Maine Outdoor School. You can join our conversation if you're quick. 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on social media. We'll go to Josh calling from Westbrook. Hi, Josh. Go ahead.
Hey, Jennifer. Thanks for having us. I work for a nonprofit called Winter Kids. A lot of families use our Winter Kids app program, which is a digital passport with free and discounted junior admission when they go with a paying adult to try alpine skiing, snowboarding, ice skating, snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, all over the state of Maine. Right now, we have over 60 offers in that passport program, including some deals at ski and snowboard shops if you needed the equipment. But it's a great way for families to see what's out there in Maine and to get their kids active.
Thanks for calling in about Winter Kids, Josh Bryan. Maine Outdoor Brands, very much involved with the Winter Kids program.
They've been a member of ours for a long time, and it's fun to hear all the callers, because if you think of an outdoor brand in Maine, they're likely a member of Maine Outdoor Brands. And so it's just a great network of folks in the state, all, you know, facilitating great outdoor experiences. Be Out Winter Kids has been doing an incredible job of making access more equitable and more affordable. And I think Hazel's point of gear intensive activities that require a lot of money and financial barriers for families to get their kids outside, especially onto the ski mountains and things like that. Winter Kids definitely does a great job of helping to reduce some of those costs for folks.
Thanks, Josh. We'll move on to Freeport and Sylvia. Hi, Sylvia. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to mention a couple resources that I use to check for events that are happening around the state. And one of them is just a simple e-newsletter called the Maine Outsider. It's just one person, and he calls all these events that are happening and sends you a weekly e-news. So that's Maine Outsider. So, and then Maine Trail Finder is a free resource that organizations and communities hosting events can post their calendar. We used it a lot in June for Love Maine Trails Month, but right now it doesn't have a lot of winter events on it. So I would suggest groups remember that people do check that, and it's free and available, and you can see events around the whole state. And also sometimes local libraries have some great events and gear you can check out. So,
Sylvia, thank you. Yeah, thanks for calling and telling us about the Maine Outsider newsletter and reminding us of Maine Trail Finder. We have an email here from Cause with Granite Backcountry. I want to highlight the expansion of backcountry skiing throughout the mountains of New England. Our organization works with a variety of landowners to cut and maintain backcountry ski glades that are publicly accessible, including several in northwestern Maine. More information available at our website, www.granitebc.org. So a little backcountry discussion here, Hazel, whether you're going in the backcountry or just in the woods near your house, you have some safety tips for all of us.
Yeah, I think winter, of course, is a pretty dangerous season if you get caught out there and you're not prepared. And so I definitely encourage folks to, and this is true year round, the 10 essentials for hiking is kind of a standard of 10 things that you should always have on any day hike year round. So folks can look that up pretty easily. But I think there's two that I really want to highlight. And the first is around our layers and insulation. So the way that I try to teach this to kids, but it's really relevant to all ages, is think about what your local wildlife is doing to adapt to the winter. So if you look at a chickadee on a cold day, it's all puffed up, right? So it's puffing out its feathers, so it traps a little bit extra warm air in those downy feathers. And then if you look at your local fox, they grow a thicker fur coat, and the inside, closer to their skin, they have this under fur that's really soft and insulating. And then the outer fur, the guard hairs, protect them from wind and water and really the weather. So thinking about your layers the same way to mimic our local wildlife, to have really fluffy, puffy, warm, insulated layer on the inside, and then something that's going to keep the wet and the wind out on the outside is super important. And the more of that you have, the better. And then the second thing is around hydration. So when it's cold, people don't drink as much water typically. And that's often also because our water bottles get really cold when they've been outside and it's unpleasant. So just a quick tip to fill your water bottles with hot water in the morning before you go out. Makes it a much more comfortable drinking temperature later. And we've got really dry air. And so keep drinking water when you're outside to stay safe. And then look up the rest of the 10 essentials and make sure you have those with you too.
Love that tip. And Brian, you're familiar with the Granite BC that Kaz was talking about, Granite Backcountry.
Yeah, and it's a great organization that has helped expand access for backcountry skiing and backcountry touring. So where people aren't necessarily taking a chairlift up the hill, there's specific gear that allows you to travel uphill with your skis on, and then you can transition quickly to ski back down.
So this is alpine and Nordic skiing that people are doing here? Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah. And some of these activities might require somebody to teach you along the way, whether it's ice climbing or backcountry skiing. Places like Inclusive Ski Touring are doing an incredible job of getting people their first taste of what it means to ski uphill first before you start skiing down. And places like Equinox Guiding Service are a great opportunity to learn about ice climbing around the state from Camden to the Bethel area. So I think I would just add on to Hazel's, 10 essentials of also let people know where you're going and when you're going to be back. I think that's always a huge one. And if you're going to go do something that might be a little scary, don't hesitate to hire a guide. Maine registered guides are an incredible resource, and they're, always happy to share their experience and get people outside in a safe manner.
Wonderful. We'll go to Ruth calling from Keyser Falls. Hi, Ruth. Go ahead.
Hi, Jen. I have a word of caution and a story to tell. About 25 some years ago, I decided to try cross-country skiing, so I love it. So a few years back, I was doing what we call the Porter Plains Road, and there's a bog that I would ski out to, and there's a beaver hut there. And it was probably 6 foot in circumference, I'm going to say, maybe more, and 4 feet high, very active. And I'd love to go visit, right? Well, I'm skiing out one day. We've had a warm spell. It's getting a little warm, and that's my point. I reached the beaver hut, and that's where the other end of the bog, and bogs can be deep. Also, my skis are sinking, so I realize I'm in a little bit of trouble. So I fly back off the bog just as fast as I can. So my word of caution is pay attention to the temperature before you do something like that. And I'm by myself, of course. And I have a cell phone, but I'm by myself. I always ski by myself. I just like to be on, do my own thing. And then the beautiful thing was I was in the same place, Porter Plains Road, and there were four deer that are standing there, not that far from me, just looking at me. They're beautiful. They look like does. And then one started walking towards me, and I just stood there and kept walking and walking towards me. Now, it wasn't that far from me when I finally moved, and then it very gently went off to the side. So I love doing that because it's all the wildlife and the deer. They're not afraid of you, and they're so beautiful when they're out. I've seen as many as 6 deer all at once. And what is the bog is there, and there's a river on the other, across the road, South Harlem Road. There is a river. They come up from the river, go to the bog, and cross back. And they specific crossing section that I have found every time I go out. That's where they tend to go back and forth. So
Ruth, thank you so much for calling and sharing. And Hazel, Ruth is a person after your heart, isn't she? Knowing what spots to go to find the wildlife. But Hazel, what she's saying reminds me of what you said at the beginning of the program about ice skating, that if there are beavers around, do not take the strong ice for granted.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, I think she highlights a great point that winter, and I think probably this resonates with Brian and his favorite outdoor activity in the winter, is that winter is a really special time to be outside. It's especially quiet. And you can be really sneaky out there. And I think that's why I love snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, is that I can stay quiet as well and be able to really absorb that silence. The snow is insulating and it absorbs sound too. So there's the way that we're experiencing sound is different in winter when there's snow on the ground than any other time of year. And I've had some pretty cool wildlife encounters as a result of being able to be so quiet. It's a really special kind of magical season. And to be able to have those kinds of wildlife encounters is really special.
Ruth, thanks so much for calling in. Sylvia on Facebook writes, I love the biathlon events, watching and participating. Midcoast Conservancy has a community biathlon people love. And an email here from Susan. I just participated in the Millinocket Marathon on Sunday. It was a gorgeous, beautiful winter day, chilly and bright. I love winter running, and that race is an amazing experience. I encourage everyone to come to Millinocket on December 6, 2025, and experience the Millinocket magic. Jeff McCabe, I remember when people decided to start a marathon in Millinocket, there were some skeptics, but it has been really, really popular and successful, hasn't it? That Millinocket Marathon.
It really has, and I actually had the opportunity to go up this weekend and cheer my wife on to be support, and myself, my son, and our friend's daughter were on the sidelines, probably around mile 22 of the marathon, with our portable speaker playing some music and with cowbells. And what an amazing opportunity. I went up on Friday afternoon to meet with some community partners, and just the buzz in town, the folks coming from all over, to see what I believe was their biggest turnout yet for runners is pretty powerful. To think of just how cold it was this weekend with the wind blowing and people's spirits were so high. I went into several local establishments after the marathon and that evening, all of which were full. People were very festive, excited. And then to just see, you know, all the chatter on social media and people posting their experiences. I've seen in the marathon Facebook page, folks posting their experiences of waking up to fresh snow on Sunday and how exciting that was for them. And, you know, it's great to see all lodging taken up in the area. I talked to some folks that were staying down in Bangor. So such a huge event, such a community-driven event, and such an important event for that area at a time of year when it might be quiet if not for that event.
Mm-hmm. And I hear it's really, really a party. You know, they're the people running and then there's everyone else, right?
Yeah, that's right. The streets are lined with people. There are water stops along the way that are very festive. People are handing out food and other components that you may need to run on a cold day. And just, you know, I had an opportunity to eat breakfast at the snowmobile club along the marathon route, and just to see the folks coming in there that were spectators and prepared, you know, along Main Street there in Millinocket was just fantastic to see the street lined with folks, people cheering folks on, and then just all of the other components that build from that. The craft fair has grown each year, and the artisans that show up for that. We had an opportunity to buy some Christmas gifts while we were there, and just really quite a buzz and quite a party atmosphere.
Beth on Facebook writes, a low impact activity I sometimes enjoy is just stepping outside and taking nature photos. No equipment other than a phone or camera is required. Alone or with others, it can be a peaceful and eye-opening experience. And Carla writes, no one ever mentions winter picnics, but they are the best, most beautiful, most interesting, coziest. Dress warmly. So there you go. A little tip for a little something you can do to enjoy winter. Have a winter picnic. And see, Brian, you're smiling because I suspect a winter picnic is nothing for you.
Well, and I just have to make a plug for, we have tons of great member brands. And so I would implore people to check out maineoutdoorbrands.com for some of your holiday shopping needs. But in particular, there's a couple. Colin and Jocelyn from Southport, they created a heated padded seat cushion. They're called Huga. You might see them in outdoor bars and things like that, but that would make an outdoor picnic much better to have a heated padded seat cushion.
I know a friend who has some of those cushions and swears by them. An email here from David. I was in West Yellowstone, Montana for cross country skiing when doctors said I could not live at 7,000 feet anymore. After a 2.5 year stint on the coast of Florida near Apalachicola, I don't know, I moved to Rangeley, Maine. I came for cross country skiing. I live in Rangeley and ski at the Rangeley Lakes Trail Center at the foot of Saddleback. I'm 68 years old. Great trails, great people. Jeff, David's story tells a story. People from away coming to Maine, and not just because of the summer, moving to Maine for winter.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great example. You know, when I think of that trail center, I think of the soup that they offer at the end of the day. I think that is actually one of the highest elevation Nordic locations in the state. It's also a place that has fat tire biking, which is also something that we're seeing growing as far as interest and use of fat tire bikes. But yeah, and if people wanted to come visit and sort of experience, you know, an adventure, maybe not on the same level that Brian is looking for on a weekend, but if somebody wanted to come up, spend the night in the woods, you know, places like Maine Hudson Trails or the Appalachian Mountain Club, where you can, you know, ski hut to hut, or you can ski to a hut, is a great way to experience that.
Well, thank you all so much for being here today. Jeff McCabe, Director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation, Hazel Stark, co-founder of the Maine Outdoor School, and Brian Thelkeld, Membership Director at Maine Outdoor Brands. Today's sound engineer was Sandra Harris. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to learn how Maine Public collaborated with PBS Frontline and the Portland Press Herald on Breakdown, a film, podcast, newspaper articles about what happened in Lewiston last year. The Frontline debuts tomorrow evening, the Frontline episode. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.